This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We begin actually the explanation of or the tafsir of Surah Al-Hadid, which is the final surah within this cluster from Al-Qaf to Al-Hadid. And then once we're done Al-Hadid, we'll begin with a new cluster of surahs and a new juz' Surah Al-Mujadila. I don't know if I'm going to actually be able to finish this surah before Ramadan. Probably won't. We probably will kind of cut off somewhere mid Surah Al-Hadid and then continue whatever's left of Surah Al-Hadid after Ramadan, just due to the fact we don't have enough time. Surah Al-Hadid is the final one. All of the surahs before, if you've been following along at all or listening to what I'm talking about, have offered comparisons, have just put options, one thing versus the other. And these comparisons are very important for you. As a Muslim, you have to make choices. And the choices began in Surah Al-Qaf in a very generalized manner, where you either choose righteousness, that takes you to Jannat al-Na'im, or you choose falsehood and takes you elsewhere. And then Surah Al-Dhariyat specifies a little bit and focuses on whether you understand that you're purposeful, meaning you have purpose and you have aim, versus just walking around aimlessly. Surah Al-Tur specializes a little bit more and asks the question, do you live with guidance, or do you live just based on whatever comes to mind, or you just walk around kind of without any source of actual guidance? Surah Al-Najm asks the question a little bit more specialized. Do you make decisions based on certainty of knowledge that comes from an authentic source, or do you base it on whims and desires and assumptions? Surah Al-Qamar and Surah Al-Rahman both ask you the question, all that you have in your life, are you thankful? Or are you going to allow it to backfire? Are you thankful, or are you going to allow it to be taken away? Because what you have is what you've got. You have to either see it in a way where you're going to show gratitude, or it's going to be taken away. And in Surah Al-Qamar al-Rahman, each one looked at that from a little bit of a different angle. Surah Al-Waqi'ah asks you the question, what type of person are you going to be on the Day of Judgment? Here are the options, either Muqarrabin or Ashab al-Yameen or Ashab al-Shimal. Surah Al-Hadid, the last one, you can say, well, we're done. Isn't that the end of it? Yeah, it pretty much is. But Surah Al-Hadid has one more curveball to throw. Surah Al-Hadid is not going to offer you an option. Surah Al-Hadid is going to say you need two things that may seem that they don't work together. It may seem that they are opposites. When I talk every the other surahs before, they're kind of opposites. Either guidance or misguidance. There's nothing in between. Either certainty of knowledge, authentic sources, or assumptions, desires, and whims. There's nothing. They're opposites. Either purposefulness or aimlessness. There's really nothing. Surah Al-Waqi'ah, same thing. Either Muqarrabin, Ashab al-Yameen, or Ashab al-Shimal. There's nothing in between. But Surah Al-Hadid is going to talk about it a little bit differently. It's going to tell you that in order for you to achieve what you've looked for, you need to bring to your life two things that may seem to you to be opposites. And then you have to harness them appropriately together. Surah Al-Hadid talks about spirituality and talks about materialism. And it brings them together as two opposites that exist in the world. And that's why it's called Surah Al-Hadid, iron. Iron is what our materialistic existence started with, us utilizing iron, being able to build those railroads and start acting. That's where this kind of started from. And Surah Al-Hadid is going to be the surah that has the most profound reference to spirituality that you've ever heard. You probably already know the ayah that I'm talking about, because if you recited Surah Al-Hadid before, if you've done it, you haven't done it, do it. Recite Surah Al-Hadid over the next couple of weeks and try to get a sense of what I'm talking about. But it starts out by pointing out the essence of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. These verses at the beginning of Surah Al-Hadid are some of the most powerful verses in the Quran. And I grew up being taught by my teachers to recite these verses at least once or twice a day, from ayah number 1 to 6. They just describe for you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of opposites, in the form of things that are opposing one another. Each verse will talk about something where there's a little bit, it seems like it's opposing. Like for our simple human mind, we look at it, this sounds like it's opposing, but it's actually not. And if you understand that that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, he's different than what you comprehend or what you imagine things to be, then you can understand why it is that inside of you, there has to be a certain degree of appreciation of your spirituality, of your spiritual existence, and your materialistic one. If you decide to ignore either of these two, things don't work out. If you decide that I'm going to be exclusively spiritual, then things will not work. And if you decide to be exclusively materialistic, well, we've seen how that works out. That doesn't work out either. And I've seen both examples. I've seen people who are fully spiritual. They have nothing. Dunya is not even a part of the equation. They're not even utilizing it for what it needs to be utilized for. That doesn't work. That causes weakness. That causes failure. And you obviously the opposite, which is what we are struggling with today, which is that consumerism mentality, this materialistic existence that we have, that is very unfulfilling and is bringing upon us so many problems, and we don't even know where to begin. Like the world is on cocaine, basically. The globe is just consuming so much, so quickly, on and on, with no reflection, with no brakes in sight, with nothing. I mean, you used to have gears in a car. Like the gearbox is broken, and there's no brakes, and we don't even know where we're headed. And no matter what people say, no matter what they say, no matter how many scientists stand and say, you are literally boiling yourselves to death. No one cares. We'll just eat and take and just keep on doing it. And this tells you that things are out of control. The materialistic approach that we have taken to this world, to our lives, and to the globe, is just out of control. We don't seem to see. Nothing makes sense. We're not listening to anything. No one is. Not the humans around the planet don't care anymore. They're willing to continue to burn down we're burning down the lungs of this planet. When you look at the planet, you look at the world. If you study medicine, the world looks exactly like what the human body looks on the inside. This looks like these forests. It looks like lungs. They're these big lungs with these rivers running between them. That's exactly how your lungs look, by the way. It looks exactly the same. And the more we burn of them, and the more we cut down, and the less this planet will be a living organism, honestly. And I don't know. I don't know how we're going to really defend all of this on the Day of Judgment in terms of our behaviors. But Surah Al-Hadid definitely hits a really sensitive nerve. And it does it majestically, just beautifully. The whole surah is just amazing. I love it. It's one of my favorite surahs to do tafsir of. And try and sell it a little bit for you so that you continue to attend, inshallah, with us. We won't finish it before Ramadan, so you'll have to kind of accept it as suspense. Because actually the last part is probably the most intriguing, but we'll probably do it sometime after Ramadan. But let's actually begin with reciting the first maybe six verses or five or four, whatever we can get through. Because they talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's really interesting. Go back to the surahs we recited from Qaf up till now, right? Think about them for a moment. Which of these surahs, so Qaf, Dhariyat, Tur, right? And Najm, think about them if you know them by heart, inshallah you've been memorizing or you've memorized them at some point. Al-Qamar, Al-Rahman, Al-Waqi'ah. Which of these surahs began and described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in detail? None of them did. The closest we have is Surah Al-Rahman that began with his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala. His blessed name, the name that is our biggest blessing in our lives, which is Ar-Rahman. But that's it. It moved on. Allama al-Qur'ana khalaqa al-insan. It talked about bounties. But then look at these six verses. It's detailed. And you're like, oh yeah, sabbaha lillahi. There's a lot of surahs like that in the juz to come. Correct. None of them like this. Go look at them. None of them like this. All of them just have one verse that describes God. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Yes, moves on, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same thing in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ. You move on to the concept. Every surah is like that. Surah Al-Taghabun, Surah Al-Saff, all the same. And then you come to Surah Al-Hadid and no. Surah Al-Hadid offers us some of the most interesting descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of almost comparisons. I don't want to say comparisons, but conceptual comparisons for our minds. Let's put it that way. But they're descriptions of the Almighty and of the Divine Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we'll recite them. Hopefully you'll find some benefit in the meaning of these verses. And if you love them, like I do, inshallah, you'll start reciting them on a daily basis. Just to remind yourself of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. سبح لله ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم So the difference between this ayah that you're looking at and the other ones that exist in this juz' to come. So when you move on, you see Surah Al-Hashr, and then you recite after that Surah Al-Saff, and you see Surah Al-Jumu'ah, and then you see Surah Al-Taghabun. You'll find that they all begin and they have سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. So the وَمَا is added to it. Here it's not, because the point is to say that there are opposites or comparisons. So when you say وَمَا مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, you're adding two entities together. When you don't, you're basically emphasizing the opposition or the difference between the samawat wal ard, if you understand. So سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, as two things that are opposite each other. Instead of saying مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, focusing on what exists inside of them. So when you add the وَمَا piece, you're just focusing on the creations that exist inside. When you don't, you're saying that all the creations that exist inside these two opposing creations, or these two creations that are very different, which is why he didn't add وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, because the point here is to continue to explain that I want you to take a look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists for you in conundrums. That for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists in a way that your brain does not fully comprehend. You don't have the ability to encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your mind. You can't. This is, if you could, then he wouldn't be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment you can encompass something, then that's it. You've established some degree of control or superiority. Or you know everything there is to know about it. And if you know everything there is to know about something, you can always find a weakness. You can find something. There's a possibility of you figuring out a way to prevail. That's why the verse ends, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. Al-Aziz, the unfathomable. Al-Aziz is the one who cannot be understood. You can't understand him. You cannot understand his essence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so if you ask those questions, well, okay, what is Allah? And you use these words, like, what does he look like? What is he made of? Where does he come? No, he's Al-Aziz, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't. That is an unanswerable question. Why? Because he is Al-Aziz. You cannot fathom who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He's beyond the scope of what our brains can actually comprehend. In Islam, there are not many things. Actually, there's only one thing that you are told you'll never understand. It's only one thing. It's the ghaib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the unseen aspect, the uncomprehensible, unfathomable aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else is subject to your comprehension. You're capable of understanding why it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the following, and why he discouraged this, and why that everything will add up for you. Everything as you study the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you study your deen, things will add up and it will all fit in place. The one thing that you're not going to be able to actually encompass with your mind is the essence of God, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why he doesn't start out by saying, he doesn't start out by describing himself that way. He starts by saying sabbaha. Sabbaha is the act of exaltation. You know what exalting means? Exaltation is claiming perfection to something, and claiming that there is no imperfection to it. It's not flawed. It doesn't make mistakes. It's not to be blamed for anything that you don't like. That's what to exalt something is. The main difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim, I'm not saying between a Muslim and a different faith, no. A Muslim and a non-Muslim, regardless of what that non-Muslim believes in, the main difference is that word. The main difference, remember this, is the word sabbah, tasbih. The fact that when you think of Allah, or when you speak of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or your creed, your commitment, your covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he is a subuh, is that he is not only unfathomable, he is the flawless, that he is Jalla Jalaluhu, who is not subject to scrutiny, he's not subject to be to criticism, because he's something different. He's beyond. I can criticize you, you can criticize me, we're just flesh and bones, and we're just human. We're just people. We're just creation. So we can criticize. You can criticize any creation, honestly, anything. It doesn't matter how powerful they are, how old they are. They're just people. So you can totally have an opinion. You can say something. It wouldn't be. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the same. He's not a creation. Jalla Jalaluhu. The way we believe in our Lord, the way we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is sabbaha. Nusabbihuhu. That's why you pray Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. You go down Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. You're reminding yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not he's not subject to my criticism. He's not on trial here. I don't ask the questions. I say, why did I'm who am I to ask the questions? He asked the questions. La yus'alu amma yaf'al. He doesn't get questioned for what he does. You get questioned. How is it that you come to this world and you start questioning what? No. He's telling you, I'm gonna question you. Yawm al-Qiyamah is going to be accountable. You're going to be asked about what you did with the time that you were given and what hand you were dealt. So for you to start questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of ruins that, kind of starts, it's messing with the basic nature of the relationship. I'm not here to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't have to like things. I don't have to agree with anything. I don't matter. My opinion on whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does has no weight at all. He didn't need me then, he doesn't need me now, he'll never need me. My counsel is not required for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. My counsel is not required, neither is yours. And that's why as Muslims, the nature of the relationship is sabbaha. Sabbaha lillahi. Everything within the cosmos and the earth. The two opposing concepts for the human being. For us, yes, the universe is massive, but for me and you, there are two things. There's this earth that we live on, that provides us with the environment that we can actually be inhabitants of, and then everything else, as-samawat, the cosmos, whatever they have in them. They have a lot of stuff. We don't even know, a fraction of actually what actually exists out there. But it doesn't matter to me. And it doesn't matter to you. Honestly, it doesn't really matter to you. How many galaxies are out there and what their names are and how they work, that doesn't, what affects you is happening here. At the end, you just want to be able to take care of yourself, take care of your family, to make headway, to be happy, to be stable, to not be afraid, to be healthy. This is what you care about at the end. Even those who are running the world, by the way, those who are running the free world, those who have so much power that we can't even understand how much power, all they care about at the end is taking care of themselves, taking care of their children, being happy. It's the same simple needs. As human beings, it's not like if you have billions of dollars, suddenly your requirements change. No, it's the same stuff. You want to be able to have a good meal. You want to be able to go to the bathroom afterwards. You want to be able to sleep without pain. You want to be able to have a little bit degree of safety when you do so. You want to have a happy relationships in your life. You want to be healthy and to feel active and to feel fulfilled. That's what you want. And it makes no difference where you come from, what age you are, what part of the world you have. It doesn't make a difference where you hail from and how much money you got. The same needs. That's why al-ard is one thing. And then everything else is samawat. So when he says, sabbaha lillah, everything, by the way, he's saying, everything exalts Allah. Everything in the cosmos, everything on earth, exalts him. Everything. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. And there's nothing in the world, in the universe, that does not exalt his name. You just don't understand it. Because the way creations exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's not necessarily the way I do it. I say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim or Subhanallah, that's how I exalt him. Other creations exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by continuously fulfilling or performing the purpose that they were created for. As these stars and planets continue to move within the ranges that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for, that's their tasbih. As the animals continue to exist in this ecosystem appropriately and continue to do their job, that's their tasbih. Their tasbih is to follow whatever lead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them on. Whatever track they are on, they continue on it, that's their tasbih. Doesn't mean that if we listen closely, the blue jay is saying subhanahu. No, that's not what it means. The fact that it exists the way it exists, the fact that it continues to, isn't that what we know? That every animal basically just continues the same process. The moment it grows in the same way, it mates, it takes care of its children, it passes on, then they do the same thing. It just keeps on going. That's their tasbih. What's left is just you figuring out what your tasbih is. What the practical aspect of your tasbih is going to look like. So that's the first verse. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything exalting Allah. As a Muslim, you do it too. Others don't. When you speak to other faiths, and other, they don't. They have a different way of looking at God altogether. Their understanding of God is different. They try to humanize God. It's easier that way. Make him flesh and bones. More, we can criticize that. We can object to stuff like that. Or make us a little bit higher. Or give us someone who's somewhere in between so we know that the option actually exists. That's why we love superheroes. Huh? That's why we love superheroes. Superheroes are awesome. Because it gives you that little bit of an option that maybe there's, because we don't like the fact that we can't fly. And we can't shoot lightning out of our hands. And we don't have that laser vision. We want to be a bit more than what we are. Now what we've got is pretty amazing if you take a moment to actually think about it and be appreciative of what you have, but we don't like it, we want more, because we heard about God. It seems much nicer to be a God. It would be way more interesting to be God than to be a human being. This is the nafs. I'm telling you what the problem with the human brain is, human psyche is. When you hear about Allah, you're like, that's cooler. I don't like this anymore. How do we, well, no, he's Allah and you're his servant. Can we, I want to change that. Can we, what will you do about that? Can we be better? No. Well, we'll imagine that. We'll have the Harry Potters and we'll have the X-Men. We'll have a DC and Marvel. We'll continue to imagine that piece. But what can we do to maybe make Allah less Allah? A little bit less. So we offer him associates. Or we give him a family because that's similar to us. Or we make him flesh and bones. Or we make many of him and they can fight. And it seems more human. When gods are fighting, it's more interesting because now, like, yeah, well, they're like us. They get upset and they have quarrels. No. Sabbah, subhanallah. Your answer, subhanallah. No. It's la ilaha illahu subhanahu. No. None of that. So he can't be more, no. So is there like no one I can speak to here that has like rights in the name of Allah? They can change? No. Subhanahu. I say, sabbah is nothing. So the nafs that wants something more gets, that's no fun. That's why the nafs doesn't want tawheed. Tawheed is boring to it. So I'm just this. And he's Allah, and I have to just do what don't want that. I want something else. Give me something. Give me some control. Give me some way to manipulate, to access, to change, to take something from myself. That's what it wants. So it comes up with things. It comes up with ways to manipulate the vision, the image of God in the eyes and the ears of people. That's why Tawheed is so selfless, is so pure. People who, you know, make money off things, people who know how to manipulate, they don't like it. It's not fun. There's no way to benefit. You can't capitalize on tawheed. You can't make money off tawheed. You can't control people off tawheed. So tawheed's a problem. But as Muslims, sabbaha, that's what you say. The moment you allow yourself to say, well, God could have done that, now you have equalized the playing ground. Now you said, I have the ability to look at God and say that was wrong. Just subhanallah. You see, subhanallah. Never. I would never do that. But once you allow yourself to do it, now you've kind of said, well, it seems like I have more wisdom. I have more wisdom. He's doing things, but I have, that's why, what's the name here? After Al-Aziz. Yeah, he's Al-Hakim. He's the all-wise. But no, you don't. He's unfathomable, so don't act like you can understand what goes into creating matter from nothingness. Don't act like you know. Don't act like we have some ability to comprehend that and actually imagine what it looks like. We can't act like we understand what it means to actually bring life from no life. We don't understand it. And to act like somehow we have superior wisdom. No, he's Al-Hakim, he's the all-wise. SubhanAllah, leave it. Focus on what you have. Focus on SubhanAllah. It'll all come. This is important. I'm saying this, I'm taking time today. This is important. It's important now for relevance of recent events and events that may come. Especially after the earthquakes that we watched and we saw people suffer. Well, where is the wisdom in that? A part of your Islam is just saying subhanallah, is accepting that I don't know. I don't understand. I'm not going to make something up. I'm not going to come and try and be clever and explain to you why there's no, I have no idea. I have no idea and I never will. And neither will you. And neither will the people who went through it. So what do we say? Subhanallah is what we say. Subhanallah. Subhanallah is not for when you get, you know, you see something and you're surprised. No, subhanallah is for when your brain starts asking questions that they have no answers for, and you turn to Allah and say, Subhanaka wa bihamdik. I exalt you and I show gratitude. And I don't understand it, but I don't have to. I'll just do my job. My job is to relieve pain. My job is to help others who are suffering. My job is to move on. That's my job. You didn't actually put me here as an advisor to explain to people the why. Sometimes we have. Sometimes there's something haram, and we figure out, oh, obvious, look what happens when you do it. Look how horrible it is. Look at the halal thing. Look how amazing it is. So we get that piece, that wisdom piece. It's awesome. It increases your iman. It strengthens you. But you have to understand that there are things that will occur where you don't have an explanation. It's going to happen to you. This is why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because it's going to happen to you. And your life is going to happen. You're going to be stuck with a problem that you just cannot see the wisdom in. You don't understand why. Why? Subhanallah will be your answer. If you understood what I'm explaining to you, then you'll say Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah. And you just do your best. Do your best with what you've got. It'll hurt, it'll sting. You'll always wonder, you know, what the wisdom is behind it. Don't worry. Say Subhanallah, move on. You'll find out one day. Many things take years and years and years. Sometimes it's after you die that the wisdom of something actually comes to light. And sometimes it'll never come in this life. You'll have to go and speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, and then you, oh my God. All right, fair enough. I didn't even know that was a, yeah, well, Subhanallah should have been the words that came out of your mouth when you ran into something that you could not explain. I hope that's, you know, makes sense to you. This is very important to me. I am not doing you any favors if this piece is not clear to you. If you don't know, because that's what Islam is for. Islam is there so that when you run into the difficulties of life, you know what to do. When life is hunky-dory, a sheikh, there's no problem. We can all be great Muslims, no problem at all. When life is easy, being good Muslims is like the easiest thing ever. It's so simple, it requires nothing. It's when it's hard. It's when things are difficult that you have to show your true colors, where you hold on to your deen, and Islamic tools, Islamic concepts serve you, and they help you, and they strengthen you, and they root you in the ground, and they clarify your vision, and they allow you to continue to move in the right direction. But what's the point? What's the point of, as long as things are easy, we say subhanAllah, and then when they're not, we don't? What's the point? I don't know what the point is. I fear for myself, wallahi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ease. Say ameen. May Allah give you ease in life and never give you difficulty. Say ameen, wallahi. This is the dua you make every day, that inshallah you don't run into difficulties. But, you know, life is life. And you're going to run into a moment where you're like, I did everything. I did everything. I did everything. Right. Right? I think, I'm not sure if I ever shared this story with you here or not, but one of my moments in learn, kind of really seeing that was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I really saw it. Like, I saw it, I had to go and tell a 45-year-old marathon runner that he had stage 4 lung cancer. This gentleman never smoked in his life. This gentleman was on posters for anti-smoking campaigns. This guy lived the most healthy life. He was very nice person, not arrogant in any form. He just ended up with stage 4 cancer in his lung, out of all places. I mean, maybe it was somewhere else, but it's his lung. Out of all places where it could be, where the majority of cancers come from smoking. I had to go and I had to explain to him that this is what you got. And I just watched him not be able to understand. How? Are you sure? How? Me? Why? How could it happen to me? I'll never forget this conversation because I don't know. I have no answer for you. Yes, I don't have any explanation for you. I have no rational, logical, scientific explanation that makes any sense of why it is, out of all people on the planet, you have this and you'll be dead in a year. There's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him a long life. I say, obviously anyone who's sick. But that's the prognosis that I have to offer. Explaining that and watching someone process that information and deal with it just taught me something. If your deen is not going to help you at a moment like that, or a moment similar to that, but on a lower scale, because that's a horrific example, right? I just offered you the nightmare of nightmares. That's something this is something that will wake you up at night in shivers. But something less than that, that I don't know exactly what your deen is doing for you. Like, I'm not sure what exactly Islam is helping you with, if it's not allowing you to deal with moments that are difficult like that. That's why these surahs, this surah that's going to talk about the balance of two things, began with Sabbaha lillah. That's where the rest of the juz that we're going to read in Surah Al-Mujahid is all going to be Yusabbih. Because, and I'll explain the significance of it when we come to it. You have to exalt Allah. You have to understand, there's nothing personal about any of this stuff. This is just life. This is life at its bigger picture. The large scheme of things move. They move on huge scales. When something happens to you, it's nothing personal about you. There's no hatred towards you. There's no extra love towards you. Your value is always the same. You're a human. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. He created you. He gave you the potential and the destiny of Jannah. Good things will be sent your way and bad things will be sent your way. Deal with them appropriately as they come and just move on. Just move on. Leave the questions to when you meet the one who gave the answers to begin with. That's why they begin with سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything within the cosmos of the earth, exalt him. And he is the unfathomable and he is the all-wise. And I hope that was clear. So we'll recite the verse after. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ. وهو على كل شيء قدير هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم. So he started by talking about the exaltation piece, and then he talked about his unfathomable trait, and then he talked about his wisdom. Now he talks about his sovereignty. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ The same, you could say, well, they didn't need to know. The repetition here is for the opposition. Like he's repeating it, he's saying, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ And لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ When even he didn't need to, he could just say, لَهُ مُلْكُهُمَا He could just use a ضمير to actually refer to them, but he repeated them for the opposition to exist in your mind, that what seems to you not to fit is the truth that you just have to wrap your head around. لَهُ مُلْكُ The sovereignty of the cosmos and the earth. So both belong to him. Not one, not the other. He doesn't just control here and out there is just chaos. He doesn't control over there and in here no one knows what's happening because we're too small, no one cares. No. He has his sovereignty, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that which is expands outwards in every direction, almost infinitely, but nothing infinite but him. In every direction that is massive and insane on a scale that we can't even begin to imagine. And the little details of this small blue and green planet down to every little aspect of my pathetic little petty life that I live. The sovereignty extends for both. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ And another opposition. يُحْيِي وَيُمِيت. He grants life and he grants death. Not one, he grants both. No, I mean, mythology that a couple of thousand years ago, no, you have to have a god that gives life and an evil one that gives death. It's better for movies and it's better for storytelling, because if you have one that does this, they can fight, and then one of them can look for Hercules or someone to help them out and they can win. He grants life and he grants death. Both that seem opposite of one another. No, they're not. No, it's just the opposite side of two sides of a coin. Life and death. They're two sides of the same coin. He'll grant one and he'll grant the other as well. Because both have purpose. And both are a part of the story. Just because you don't like one of them doesn't mean that you're not going to attribute it to... No. Just because I don't like death, I'm not going to... No. I don't like death. The only reason you don't like death is a fear. That's all. We're just afraid. Either afraid of nothingness because we lack belief, or afraid of how we're going to explain ourselves when we're held accountable. But that's all it is. Without death, there's no motivation. Without death, there's no meaning. Without death, there's no story. If we just lived forever, then what would we do? Every attempt, and this is something I'm interested in, I look into, I read. Every attempt of the human race to describe a world where humans lived forever, there are a number of authors who both from North America and from Latin America and from Russia and parts of the subcontinent as well. Some of these books go back maybe 2,000 years in terms of the idea. Every single book that was written that attempted to imagine a world where the human beings living in it would live forever ended with them committing suicide. All of them. It ended with the human being saying, I don't want to live anymore. Because there's lack of meaning. Because when there's no death, there's no meaning to it. It's a musiba for us, because you lose your ability to repent. It's you lose your ability to straighten out and become better. And that's a musiba, because you always want the chance to be a better person. But when there's no, when the concept doesn't exist altogether, it becomes meaningless. يُحْيِي وَيُمِيت. He does both, because you need both. Both are a part of this story. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ So he talked about his exaltation, his exalted status. He talked about the fact he's unfathomable. He talked about the fact all of his attributes you'll find in Surah Al-Hadid. This is why these verses are so important. He is all-wise, sovereignty, he owns everything. I didn't take too much time to talk about that, but you can think about it. He owns everything. He owns me. He owns you. Ownership. No partnership here. Ownership. I am owned. I don't belong to myself. I don't own the meat and bones on me, and I do not own my spirit. They are both owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am just given them as a gift for a short period of time, and I will return them back to him subhanahu wa ta'ala very shortly. So full sovereignty, nothing that exists belongs to someone else or is rented or someone else. No. Everything is fully owned by Allah. And he grants life and death. And he is capable of all. Ala kulli shay'in qadir, is the omnipotent. He does whatever he wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing that he cannot do. There's nothing. And don't give me these silly questions where can you create something that these questions that actually don't have any meaning. It's like, what's the, you know, what is the color blue smell like? That's a question that has no meaning. There's no meaning to that question. The question has to have some philosophical base, has to have some cognitive way to actually understand it. So you ask a question, how does the omnipotent create something that they can't control? There's no sense in that. That question does not have, it doesn't have a meat, it's not meaningful. It's a stupid question and it cannot be asked because it cannot be answered because it doesn't have the basis of how a brain can actually function within this world. If you create something, then by the definition of creation, you control it. For you to actually take that away means the person didn't create it to begin with. So just, you're playing around with words and you have a lack of understanding of linguistics. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ These are the descriptions so far. He's exalted. He's the unfathomable. He's the all-wise. He is the king. He owns all. He grants life and death. He is capable of all, subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ He's the first and the last. Well now, the oppositions have become a little bit too... What do you mean? When you run a race, either you're the first or you're the last. How can you be the first and the last at the same time? If you're one thing, if you're one, and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what we build our faith on, well how are you the first and the last? Unless you're the only one running. Unless there's no one else. So it doesn't matter. If there's only one person running, then they could be the first, they could be the last. You could be any number you want. Or time means nothing to you. Because the concept of first and last only exists in the framework of time. You and I exist through time. That's why the clocks are here. That's why at a certain time you're going to start wanting me to end so you can go home. Because time matters. We exist in time. I dare you. Imagine something without time. And really, you can't, because we don't understand anything that doesn't have time. Time is the fabric of our reality. You remove time, we sit there. Okay, I can maybe imagine that time doesn't exist, but I have no idea what to imagine. I have no ability to imagine anything. So I just sit there. You need to re-educate, you have to educate me on this because it's beyond my ability to actually comprehend. But maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not maybe. If someone was trying to figure out their faith, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond time? So it doesn't matter. He's the first, he's the last, because time means nothing. He created time. He's not encompassed by time. He's not contained in time. If he's contained in time, then time is God. If Allah is contained in time, then why are we worshiping him? We just worship time. We'll worship the thing that contains you. It's stronger than you. You exist within it. You can't exist out of it. That's God. But time is just his own creation. So he is al-awwal wal-akhir. He is the first and the last. What are you asking? When you ask, what became for Allah? What do you mean came before Allah? Ask the same question, what comes after Allah? Nothing. Because we don't have the ability to ask that question because Allah is not contained in it. Tell me anything you can imagine that doesn't start. Go ahead. Imagine something that does not start. I dare you. Imagine something doesn't end. Go ahead. We can act like we understand eternity. We can act like I'm a good actor. I can totally act like I understand Khalidina fiha abada. Totally. I can't. Once I sit, when I put my head on the pillow and start imagining, I can't. Everything has to end. Everything is like, okay, and then what? Okay, and then, so what's the, everything ends and everything begins, but Allah doesn't. That's why he's Allah. And that's why I'm just a measly little servant that sits and talks about it. But he is Allah, so he doesn't begin, he doesn't end, and that's why he's God. And we begin and we end. And everything that we've ever experienced in our lives begins and ends. And today, all those who have refuted the concept of God in their lives, it's really funny, wallahi, it's so funny. It's like the same stuff, subhanAllah. Just go back and study what Aristotle and Plato talked about. Same stuff, like there's nothing new, honestly. It's such a boring discipline these days. So they don't believe in God, but they talk about the infinite nature of the universe. So they tell you the universe didn't really begin. And it's never going to end. How is that different? So you're just saying the universe is God? Who's, at least our God says something. At least our God shows some manifestation of life in the way that it communicates. So now you're just speaking about this space-time complex, and you're calling that God. Say, it never began, never end. You have no evidence to support that at all, because it's actually because everything within space and time starts and it ends. Everything begins and then it goes away later on. والظاهر والباطن. And is the apparent and the hidden. How is he? How are you? Either you're something that I can see or you're something that I can't. Either you're something that's apparent or you're something that's hidden. How are you going to be both? How are you going to be the thing on the surface and the thing on the inside? Unless space means nothing to you. Unless you're not in space. Because in space, in the 3D existence that you and I have, there is something I can see on the outside and there's something on the inside. I see the faces, I see the skin, and I see the eye. But I don't see the... Ever seen what the human face looks like when you rip the skin off? Not very pretty. Not a very good look. None of us really want that look. On the inside, that's the batin. You can't see it. You know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the zahir and the batin. He is the one who is apparent and he's the one who is hidden. Why? Because space is his creation. So you can... Well, where is God? That's a meaningless question. It's a meaningless question. He's not contained in space. If he were contained in space, then space is God. Because space contains him. He can't get out of it. He can't. I am weaker than space. Because I can't break through. I can't break through. I can't break loose from my spatial existence. It's like I can't break away from time. I can't stop it. I can't exist without it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created both time and space. Neither of them apply to him. And because neither of them apply to him, he is al-awwal wal-akhir. He's the first and the last. And he's zahir al-batin, he's the apparent and the hidden. Doesn't make it, means nothing to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you comprehend that? No. But that's la ilaha illallah for you. That's what it means to believe in la ilaha illallah, is understanding that piece. That's why right after that, what is he talking? Because that's where our knowledge ends. My knowledge ends right there. I don't know how else to comment on the divine more than I have. That's why he, at the end of this verse, what does he say? قَالَ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And he is the omniscious. He is the one who has all the knowledge. The knowledge is there. You don't have it. Actually, what really bothers you in life is the lack of it. Do you know your future? Wouldn't that be awesome if you knew your future? Is that why we love The Matrix? That was a good movie. Because we enjoyed. We enjoyed, what's his name? Morpheus, what was his name? As he tells him, take a right, take a left, put your head down. As he does it, perfectly, at the moment, he ends up under the radar for everything. It's awesome to know what's going to happen next. It's awesome to know exactly what door to stand at, and people will walk by and won't look. Think about the Prophet alayhi salam sitting in that cave. No one looks down. No one's looked down. It's impossible for the Prophet alayhi salam and Abu Bakr to imagine that no one's going to look down. But they didn't. They didn't. He is al-Alim subhanahu, he knows. Just sit there, stay quiet, they won't see you. They just won't look, because he knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they walked, they had no idea, they thought they were going to die. He knows all. The fact that you don't know is what makes life difficult. The fact that you don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know what the future carries for you. You don't know 10 years from now, where you're going to be. I do this every once in a while. I take a time. I did this in 2013, which is why this year is going to be a difficult one for me. Once I left my country, I marked that year. I'm like, okay, because I'd marked the year before 2010. Like, 2010 was a year. I marked it. I'm like, I can't mark 2010 anymore because I was removed from my environment. So 2003, I marked it. I'm like, okay, let's see where I'll be in 2023. Not even close. Not even remotely close to where I thought I was going to be. Wallahi, not even in the ballpark. Wallahi, so weird. So I wrote it down. It is nothing. There's not one thing that I put there that is today. Not one thing, not even one. Wallahi, nothing. Like everything I predicted I thought I was going to be is not there. It's nothing. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I'm nothing but grateful for what I've got. But we don't know. The fact that you don't know is very bothersome. The fact that you don't know what is hard. If you knew, you would be, khalas, I know. I know exactly when it all ends. I know what's coming. I know I know it. You feel better. You're much more powerful. Knowledge is power. We know that. Knowledge is power. It's the most powerful thing in the universe is knowledge. We don't know. But you can learn. And one day you'll meet him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he'll teach you even more. And your brain will expand and your knowledge will expand. And that's the most beautiful thing that you can ask him to give you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day. In the spirit of not keeping you here after 9, I'm going to stop with that, because once I recite 4, I have to recite 5 and 6 in order for the continuation of the verses to make sense. I want you to take some time over the next week and recite, start reciting a little bit of Surah Al-Hadid, at least these first 6 verses. take some time and reflect upon them. These verses are beautiful for a reason. They are the description of the divine himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. They describe him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a very specific, clear, summarized way. There's not one word in these verses that you can remove. Like, we can't take a word and say, we don't need that. No, no, every single letter in these verses are needed in order for the idea, in order for the description to be complete. And this is who you believe, this is who you worship. This is who you serve. This is your Lord. Seems to you that opposites are there, but no, they're not. He can be al-awwal wal-akhir, no problem. So maybe a lot of the opposites you thought were impossible aren't. He's al-zahir wal-batin, so yeah, he can be the apparent and the hidden. And so maybe a lot of, yeah. It's the samawat wal-ard. He grants life and death. Maybe a lot of the conundrums that you thought were not possible to exist at the same time, causing you difficulty, maybe your understanding of them was wrong. Maybe we need to re-understand certain aspects of life. Which is what this surah is going to slowly walk us towards. Okay, you understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first, the last, the zahir, the batin, yuhi wa yumit, ma fi samawati, ma fi al-ard, aziz and hakim, qadir and alim, things that, do they work together? You see how all these things work together? Perfect. So you are a materialistic and spiritual being. Yes, together. You are these two things together. The moment you drop the ball on one of them, you stop functioning. You don't live anymore. You don't know what to do. You get lost. People today were lost because one of these two sides has been inflated. It's been inflated beyond what we ever thought was possible. And the other side has shriveled into nothingness. And we don't know what to do with it anymore. We're lost, we're walking around, even though we know certain things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know certain things about Akhirah, but we're not feeling any of it. We're not able to commit to any of it. We're not functioning. People ask this question all the time. I've been praying for all this. Of course you're not going to. Because there's a misbalance here. The spiritual peace has been starved. Been starved to death. Been starved to death. No one has nurtured it at all. And the materialistic peace is huge. So you're walking with a pretty bad limp. You can't see straight because there's something missing. The opposite exists as well. Those who get lost into spirituality. I'll give you examples of them, inshallah. The Quran gives you examples. Like the Surah Al-Hadid gives you examples. At the end, gives you an example of those who go way too far. Go way too far in the spirituality and they get lost and it ruins their lives. You go back to this, you can find it at the end of the surah. Doesn't work. You need the balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I am all the things that you think are opposites. Now, what you have inside of you may seem opposites, but they're not. There's a synergy. There's a synchrony. They come together perfectly. You just slot them in, and suddenly you know who you are. You can do it. And that's why it's important for us to learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, because he did that with such mastery, with such grace, that you almost didn't even notice it. Like, he did it so well that doesn't even seem, it was effortless. What he did was so effortless that we think, so we can do, no. You don't understand. What he was able to do with his life, alayhi salatu wasalam, what he was able to teach the Sahaba to do was something that has not happened again. It has not happened again. We have not seen people who are able to balance their materialistic part and their spiritual parts in such a perfect manner. And then what they were able to do with that was why you and I sit here a couple of tens of thousands of kilometers away of where it all began, praising his name or reciting his book. That's why we're here. Because there was people who learned how to do it. And Surah Al-Hadid is teaching you this. Wallahi, Surah Al-Hadid is so valuable because we struggle with this. Because we have an inflated part and a shriveled one. We have an inflated one and a shriveled one. The spirituality piece? No, everything is mechanical. Be honest. It's not mechanical to you. You pray. Is it mechanical or not? Are you in complete? Are you lost in your spiritual connection with Allah every time you say Allahu Akbar? You read the Quran and then forget about everything. You start doing your invocation, Subhanallah, and that's it. Nothing else matters. One of the Sahaba was standing one day and he was praying and the wall fell down in his house. So he continued, he was praying. All the neighbors were around. It's a wall, like a full wall, just fell over. And they waited for him for like half an hour for him to finish his 2 rak'ah. And they came to him and said, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, a wall, it fell over. What do I do? Fell over, it's a wall. And what am I going to do? I'm going to fix it tonight, it's a wall. I was doing something much more valuable to me. Ubadah ibn Samit would stand there and recite at night as he was protecting the army, and three arrows would fall into his arm. He would pull them out and throw them down. It was only the splatter of blood on the face of Ammar ibn Yasir that would wake him up to see that someone was actually trying to kill him. And he would continue to pray. He would go, he would neutralize the guy who was trying to kill Ubadah. And come ask him, what are you doing? Why didn't you let me know? فَقَالَ كُنْتُ فِي سُورَةٍ لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا عِنْدِي أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ قَطْعِهَا. I was reciting a surah that I would rather die than actually, I was enjoying it, I didn't want to stop. I'm like, I'd rather die, honestly. It's a level of joy. It's a level of joy, it's a level of spiritual indulgence that they had, that they enjoyed, they had it. And that's why pain was no problem. Yeah, pain. The pain's a part of this, no big deal. I'll finish the surah, then I'll go find the guy who's trying to kill me and I'll take care of him, no problem. So unless you're going to be, you're going to lie to me and yourself, then you know that what Surah Al-Hadid is teaching is very important. It's pointing out a piece of us that, yes, you come from the soil of the earth, so you have a materialistic aspect to you that needs to be respected. But then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, نَفَخَ فِيكَ مِنْ رُوحِهِ. There's a breath of Allah that entered you, that gave you who you are. That's a part of Allah. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, مِنْ رُوحِهِ, from the spirit of... What does that mean? I don't know. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you, what does that mean, the spirit? قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say it's an issue of God. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Your knowledge doesn't go that far. So inside of you is a part, is a, something of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it dead? Why has it been systematically killed to the point where it doesn't even exist anymore? And the other part is it. So we'll talk about these. I hope that inshallah that was a benefit to you. We will continue inshallah reciting the surah next week. Subhanallah bihamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Have a nice night.